back.
Episode 26. And cuz,
Wow.
Because we're so close to the holiday, Halloween, what are we covering?
Well, you said it, man. We are covering the 1978 John Carpenter classic, sorry for spoilers, Halloween, baby.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But before we get into all of that,
yes.
What's your Halloween drink?
Tonight, my Halloween drink is Modelo. I am wearing a USA soccer jersey, but I'm drinking Mexican beer because I am an equal opportunity alcoholic. And I like it. It's a great beer.
All right.
What about you?
I think we might have a theme here,
because
I'm going a little bit off the reservation tonight. And we didn't even talk about this in the green room. You have no clue what I'm drinking.
No, I don't.
But I'm drinking a Cuba Libre.
Oh, Cuba Libre. Rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke, baby, with a little
with a lime.
No, I don't have the lime. So
I guess it's just rum and Coke then.
I guess
Gringo.
it is. I guess it
no,
is.
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yep. The rum is Don Q. It's an actual Puerto Rican rum.
An
Not
actual Puerto Rican rum, folks.
that's
Not
right.
like
Bacardi.
Now, those lying bastards.
That's right. Bacardi
where do
is
they
a
make
Cuban.
Bacardi?
They make it in Puerto Rico,
But
and also Denver, I think. But and they used to make it in Fort Lauderdale as well. They
but
made it.
what's
They
the
had like or in
controversy, though?
Bahamas. It's not a controversy. It's just when all the shit started happening in Cuba, the Bacardi family fled with their rum recipe and all their money and opened up the distillery in Puerto Rico.
However, Don Q is straight, like born and
Straight,
raised.
born and raised, man. He's a Boricua for life.
A what?
Boricua.
Boricua. I love that.
Boricua.
All right,
That's
I'm
right.
learning. All right. So,
Yeah.
okay.
I'm not going
Don
to get
Q.
into Puerto Rican history of why they're called Boricuas, but yeah.
No, we've had some complaints about the show. Let me ask you, though, a quick question. Are you
Yeah.
drinking Mexican Coke, like
I
the
am
sugar,
not.
or just regular Coke?
I'm not because, according to Mrs. Guz, Puerto Ricans and Mexicans don't mix. So,
I see. So that might have
yeah.
made an uncomfortable moment for your stomach at the very least. Yeah.
A little bit, a little bit. They're
And
very,
that's a lot of real sugar. That's a lot of cane sugar.
It is. It is. Yeah. I mean, if you ever, I watched a lot, I know already off on a tangent, watched a lot of boxing in my youth. When I say youth, in my 20s and 30s with my Puerto Rican family. And anytime they were fighting a Mexican, there was just that much more passion.
Really?
When a Puerto Rican was fighting a Mexican. Yeah.
Oh, I love it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel whenever the U.S. is playing them in soccer. I get my
Yeah.
blood starts boiling. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about soccer, but for some reason, I know why. It's because of their hatred towards us is what drives me insane.
Yeah.
You know, after 9/11, we played a soccer match. I mean, years later, but still down there in Azteca, and they were chanting Osama, Osama. I mean, they're just horrible people. Their fans are horrible people.
Yeah, what are you
Horrible.
gonna do? They sound like Boston fans.
Yeah, well, they're horrible people too. I don't like them either.
Yeah,
But they're
exactly.
American.
Exactly. But anyway,
Anyways, before we get crazy,
we're back to the movie. As you
Halloween.
said, Halloween, as you said, because John Carpenter, it's our second John Carpenter flick. I thought it was back to back. Totally forgot we did Spy Game in episode 25. But because of Robert Redford, or the death of Robert Redford. But yeah, so John Carpenter, he directed it. He wrote it, released in 1978. You had a very young Jamie Lee Curtis.
How do you feel about Jamie Lee Curtis?
Well, I had a lot of feelings about
I
Jamie
bet
Lee
you did.
Curtis. Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis, one of my all-time favorites. We were talking in the green room. She may or may not have been born with an appendage.
Well,
and this was before the internet, folks, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it, and there was no internet. How true that is, I don't know. But apparently. Anyhow, yeah, complete smoke show, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
And especially 18-year-old, 19-year-old Jamie Lee Curtis in this movie. Yeah, fantastic. Donald Pleasance, Nick Castle. Donald Pleasance played Dr. Loomis.
There you go.
Yep. And we'll get more into that along with Nick Castle as Michael Myers. But some interesting things here. The budget, $325,000.
My goodness.
That is unbelievable how little that is. I guess if you watch the movie, you can see that their budget was very low. But It's still unbelievable because it grossed over $70 million. Do you
Yeah.
know how what that time frame was? Is that all time 70 million, or is that box office, or what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I don't know. Grossed over. I mean, I have to believe that's over. I mean, that had to have been from the release and then worldwide and then potentially distribution because, you know, a home video, because I'm sure it's made over more than that now, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
I
Yeah, I would
mean,
think
listen.
so.
Well, I mean, listen to this though. That 325, it, you know, in 78 or 79 is what I accidentally typed in, is actually is only like $1.4 million today. So that's still not a lot of money.
No,
Can you
it's
imagine making
not.
a movie for $1.5 million now?
I know.
It'd be like made of paper. I don't know
I
what I
know.
meant by
It
that, but I mean, it
basically
would be
cost one and
fragile.
a half million dollars. Well, it cost $1.5 million to produce this podcast each episode. So, you know,
Right. That's why
I
we've
don't know how
only done
much it was.
26. I mean, we're not exactly made
That's
of
right.
money.
No,
God,
not at
people, what do you
all.
want from us? But I mean, that
Some
is just
others.
not a lot of money with a tremendous gross. So, yes.
No, it's amazing. Yeah, I mean it's crazy how much of a profit this movie
And that's
was.
a testament to John Carpenter. I mean,
Yes. Yeah.
you know,
Guy's
love him or
fantastic.
hate him, the guy's a genius. I mean, I'm saying, you
He's
know,
a
there might be
genius.
movies you don't like, but you know, and he drops off in the 90s. We're not, we talked about that during Big Trouble in Little China, but you know, I mean, he's got some bangers. And this is one of
He
them.
does. Oh, definitely. It only took him 21 days to shoot, by
Yeah.
the way. And it was shot in California in the spring, not in Illinois in the fall.
Yeah.
I have a note here. Those were painted leaves.
Yes. The
What
leaves on the
color?
ground. As you know, and like we said in the green room, the first time I watched this and subsequent viewings, I didn't think about it. You know, everything else was just so important. What about you? Did you notice
So,
this?
no, I didn't notice this, but it makes me think there's that, you know, when she's walking home from school, and I think it's either on the way home from school or to school. I think it's on the way home, and there, like, that purplish leaf lands in her hair.
Right.
Like, I wonder if that was on purpose and not just instead of just like him cutting because something fell in her hair and he just kept rolling with it, or if it was planned to put in her hair just to
Yeah.
even to make it more, hey, look, we're in Illinois in the fall.
Hey, look, this is a, yeah.
So,
Could have been just a perfect shot.
yeah, it could have been. It happens that way.
Sometimes.
And then we'll get into this a little bit later too, but it only
Yeah.
took Carpenter, who composed the music, 3 days. So,
Yeah, I will talk about that later. That's
yeah, we'll get into that later.
lovely. Yeah.
But it definitely is. So, because when was the first time you saw this movie?
So I did, the first time I saw this was on tape. It was in, I was in high school, so like the early 90s. Watched it with a former bourbon boy, Larry. We used to try and watch some scary movies. We didn't, nothing. Well, no, I mean, we saw some scary shit, but this, you know, this is one of those movies that, you know, like you get your Blockbuster card and you have the R-rated access. This is one of the first ones you watch if you're, you know, trying to stay true to, you know, classic movies, horror movies, or just in general. So definitely watch this. This is the, like, I just want to say, like, and I noticed that I noticed this then, and then every fall, because you know fall is pseudo rare in the in Florida, but you know I, as you know and everybody knows, I went to University of Florida, and you know anytime it's ironic because anytime I'm around like falling leaves and it's around Halloween time, I do get a little like kind of spooked if I'm by myself walking around. Like I remember distinctly leaving like a later class. Like, you know, around like 5 or 6 in Gainesville, and like walking through a basically empty campus, and there was like leaves on the ground, and there was a chill in the air, and you just kind of are like looking behind you. You know, it's, and this movie, I think, originated that. And the irony is that this was filmed in the spring in California. It wasn't even cold or anything like that, but just like that's just the feel you get. And it's that, and that is like its legacy with me, like not just like, you know, all of the wonderful things that you saw on screen, but just it really spooked out Halloween for me, which never really was all that. It was, you know, that was about, as Tommy says in the movie, it's about candy and jack-o'-lanterns, you know, But then you watch a scary movie about Halloween, and it's like, okay, now it's about dying. Great.
Not about the boogeyman.
Not the boogeyman. All right. What about you, man?
So I honestly don't remember the first time I saw this movie. I want to say I was pretty little, so it probably fucked me up into my
One of the
adulthood.
reasons, yeah.
Yep. But I say that in that I when I was older, I knew I had already seen the movie, and I don't know. I just because I'm the youngest of six, four are much, much older than me. One is 6 to 7 years older than me, so I'm guessing it was with one of my siblings that I watched this movie, and probably they were trying to freak me out.
Too young to watch it is what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Because when I say like I wasn't even in middle school, this would probably have been in elementary school when I watched it, so definitely
Oof.
not appropriate.
No.
But yeah, so that's why I think I'd already been like pretty messed up anyway, because I know my brother, going off on a slight tangent, but my brother had like he made me watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space when I was really, really young. And
Yeah.
so I imagine it may have been the same brother made me watch Halloween. I think he also made me watch It. Yeah, my
The
brother was
TV one,
pretty,
yeah.
yeah. Whatever his name is.
Tim Curry, baby.
Tim Curry, yeah, yep. But yeah, so I don't remember it, but I agree with you. It's almost like, so on the rewatch, it was nighttime. The sun had already set, right? It's setting a little bit earlier. And Mrs. Gus is cleaning or was cleaning, and she's like, "Hey, can you take the trash out?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem." So just hit pause. I walk out to take the trash out, and I gotta walk, I don't know, like I'll say 10 to 15 yards. But there's a little bit of a breeze. It's a little
Yeah.
chilly. There's leaves everywhere. There's shadows, streetlights, and it's, I'm 45 years old, and it still makes you think, like,
Yes.
what's out there? A split second, I'm not
Sure.
scared or anything, but it kind
You
of,
didn't run back to the house.
no, but it kind of like takes you back to your childhood,
Of
right? Or to those
course.
times where you're just like, oh my God, like this is for real. It's that split second of,
Yeah.
hey, am I going to survive this walk back? But
Right.
yeah, this 10 yard walk back that I have to in the middle of my complex. But
Maybe you get a half step. Maybe you're adding a half step to your walk back. Yeah. Oh, I get it, man.
I think we're going to get into this next part a little bit later, but it's very simple,
Oh, yeah.
the movie. It's, shot in 21 days, not a very large budget, as we already talked about. And, just the no CGI, right? This
Right.
was before CGI. So it was kind of like a little bit of ketchup, probably for the blood. And there wasn't a lot of blood in this,
No, which you don't remember. Like I when I was watching this, I was like scary. I was expecting gore.
Yeah, and it's like scary slasher movie, blood everywhere. No, it really wasn't.
It's
It really
really just
wasn't.
scary as shit.
Yeah, I
And
mean, even when Lori is in the afternoon walking, and she saw Michael Myers, and then she kind of looks back, she's kind of backing up, and then runs into the sheriff, right?
right.
Like that's a attention, like make you jump in your out of your seat moment. And it's nothing more than her just accidentally running into another person,
A
because she
human
wasn't
being,
paying
yeah,
attention.
normal person.
So yeah, no, I mean, anything from you on that simplicity?
No, it's a, I mean, I think we said this in the green room, and I'm definitely going to expound on this a little bit later, but I mean, it's a reflection of the times. I mean, like, it was a, like you said, I mean, it was a simpler time, and they made movies to reflect that. And this is something I just want to mention, like, speaking of the budget, speaking of like, the quick turnaround or whatever on the filming, they didn't have enough money for like lighting. So like those really dark scenes, they either, like they just had to go with what they could do. So like, it's, I mean, it's a little dark at times, but I mean, I remember I had to, I was about to say I had to. I chose to watch this movie in my bed with my phone, a couple scenes, and I saw it just fine, like on my phone, pitch black. Yes, I'm not saying I was using my wife as a security blanket. It's a little bit of a scary movie, but I did start out watching it downstairs, had to shut some windows or some drapes, let's say. because the to your point, the trees were moving, in the
Right.
backyard. So my point is, it's like that, like they did a masterful job, or John, of course, Carpenter, with the my buddy John,
Yeah.
they did a masterful job with the lighting, even though it was dark. I mean, they worked with what they had to, and what they had to do was make a realistic looking scary ass movie, and they did
Yeah.
a great job.
No, it is. It's so well done. It's just so well done.
Yeah.
And like you said, we'll get into that in a little bit, but what do you think on if this movie still holds up?
I think it definitely does. In like I'm not sure if this I mean, it definitely didn't occur this rewatch, but I did have the disadvantage, and I don't know if you call it that or not, because it's we're victims to our own timeline. It's not like I could have gone back and watched this in 1978, but watching this in like 94 or 3 or whatever, had already seen, spoiler alert, had already seen, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, other movies that are very, very scary to someone, growing up in the 80s and 90s. So I was almost dismissing it because the movie kind of seemed cliche, but I had to remind myself that the cliches that exist now are from this movie, basically. The
Right.
slow walking stalker, the guy who disappears, you have no idea what his motive is. Teenagers drinking and sex, the unmovable force, basically, the unstoppable, rather, like bad guy. It's like, and then one person knows everything. All these little things about it were from this movie, I think. At least it gets
Yeah.
credit for a lot of those cliches, quote unquote. So you kind of have to like take yourself out of where you are and what you know of movies, and just like put yourself in 1978 if you can when you watch this. I would highly recommend everyone just drop their judgment, put their phone down, and just watch this. So yeah, I think it holds up like crazy, but you've got to do a little work on your part, an audience member.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I didn't have high expectations going into this rewatch because it's to be honest, it's been a while since I've
Yeah.
seen this movie. It's been a long while. And so it's like, okay, like slasher movie, 70s. But then like you start watching it, and I think the appreciation for how the camera angles or the type of cameras, handheld cameras,
Yeah,
just the
that's a great
shots.
point.
And it's really good. And yes, okay, like some of the blood is whatever, but there's
Right.
not much to it. I think it's just a really well done movie. And for thriller movies, for tension movies, this is a fantastic, fantastic movie. And like you said, like I think this is one of the originals. You obviously said that too. Like I'm trying to think maybe like Psycho or something, or
Yeah.
maybe, but those weren't really like, I mean, I guess it was a slasher movie, but it's not in the same vein as,
Yeah, it's not supernatural. Like
no.
that was spooky and weird and demented
Right.
person. Well, so is
Yeah.
this, I guess. But
Yeah.
you know what? I mean, I don't well, I mean, we'll get into, well, you just mentioned Psycho, so let's put a pin in that. But yeah,
Okay.
no, I agree. No, I mean, and from my thought, I mean, keep going, of course, but I just, I know I'm trying to think, like, from the, because, I watch these movies, I watch these, like, clips on YouTube about, original slasher movies, or, like, some of the first ones. I mean, Friday the 13th was only 2 years away. I think it was, like,
Right.
81. So, I mean,
Yeah.
that, and Freddy was, like, 4 or 6 years later, in 84.
Right.
So, I mean, they were hot on the trail. Like, they saw this movie. I know this to be a fact. Like, the creators of Friday the 13th saw this movie and tried to just jump on that bandwagon. And
Right.
for the flaw, as flawed as those movies are, they were successful in a sense. I mean, they,
Yeah.
there's 10, not including Freddy versus Jason, there are 10 Friday the 13th slash Jason movies.
Yeah, and if you're from our generation,
Yeah.
even a few years ahead of us, a few years past us, everybody saw all those movies.
Yeah.
There is it would be hard pressed to find someone our age, we'll say born in the late 60s all the way to the late 80s, like a 20-year period
Yeah.
of people who are born who haven't seen those movies. They've all
Right.
seen them, right?
Yeah. They all
So
know who freaking Jason is, and they all have an experience. Maybe they hated it. That's fine. But everybody has seen at least one of those movies. I mean, I've
100%.
seen them all. I love the Friday the 13th movies. I like the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, but Jason was who it was for me. What about you? Do you have an opinion on those two? Speaking of nostalgia.
I would say I prefer the original Friday the 13th over all of them.
Yeah,
But
it's
once you
good.
start getting into Jason with the hockey mask, I think I like the Freddy Krueger movies a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I think just because I think Friday or not Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street is a little bit more twisted because it happens
Yeah.
in your dreams,
Yeah.
right? Like,
The
so
supernaturalness, I'm not sure if that's a word, expands beyond just the killer. Because it's yeah, and dying in your dreams and the clever ways that people got killed in that. Now, I will say Freddy's Revenge, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is probably one of the worst movies of all time. But I mean that's and I mean that like comparing all of them. You know, beyond that, I mean I loved Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. I don't know if you remember that one. I mean that one was awesome. And that's got some cool background to it too, you know. As I'm saying this, like 4, 5, 6, and then you know the new Nightmare was kind of bizarre. You know, Freddy's dead. The final Nightmare was good. I mean, it was good in a you know stupid sense, but yeah, we're going on a tangent.
We are going on a tangent. That's fine. That's
Yeah,
fine. I mean,
but
it's the spirit of I mean, we're not going to cover any of those movies ever. And
no.
I think they're relatable to this movie, you know.
Yeah, and
So
I mean Friday the 13th. The funny part is. I have a strong opinion on those movies, as I've said. I distinctly remember, like, you know, me being like Greek Orthodox, right? So, like, Saturday night of Easter, we used to go to my aunt's house, and they had the luxury of having like HBO and all those movies, all those channels we didn't have. And so I remember this distinctly. My cousin and I were like just in the living room, like just off the kitchen. All the adults are in there just gabbing away, drinking, having a good time. We turn on this huge TV and I went over and I slightly tilted it away from the kitchen so only he and I could see it. And we watched all of Friday the 13th, Part 7, A New Blood on Easter night or, you know, Saturday night. And that just, I mean, electrified me. Not. Now I know that he did get rejuvenated, I think, by no, he got rejuvenated by psychic powers in that movie. But regardless. And then as I get older, Friday the 13th Part 6 is probably one of the coolest freaking movies. It was really well done. It was like a big budget. It had Alice Cooper,
That's right.
you know, singing The Man Behind the Mask. I distinctly remember the video for that movie. It was like So, like, when I finally was old enough to see Friday the 13th Part 6, whatever, Jason Lives or whatever it was called, I mean, that's one I can rewatch anytime. But anyways, so I know I just lost y'all. But anyways, we're back. We're back. Halloween, 1978, the original, one of the original slasher movies. And I definitely think it still holds up based on that conversation I just had with myself.
Yourself, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. That's
All
preview.
right. So let's get into some cast here. I'll start it off with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, you better.
yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan. Something about her I didn't know until doing research for this movie was she did Halloween, and this was her big breakthrough, right? This was her big movie, but she did quite a bit of other kinda slasher movies ish, if you want to say. So you have Halloween, The Fog, Prom Night, Terror Train, like Escape from New York. No, that's another Carpenter movie. Obviously, Halloween 2. She's not credited in Halloween 3, but she was actually like the telephone operator's voice. And then, of course, she's done some more Halloween movies, like remakes and reboots. You know, later on or more recently.
More recently, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But she is like one of the first, or she is the first maybe like clean cut virgin types, who doesn't die in the movie. Did she mention she was a virgin in this? I
No,
mean,
but I
they
think you
made it
just,
definitely seem like she was a prude,
yeah. I
right?
definitely think that, I mean,
So,
she says, like, guys don't like me because I'm too smart.
right. Yeah, and
So
she was
I
definitely,
just,
into her books. No, go ahead. Go
yeah.
ahead.
No. I'm just literally going off of that. I mean, she, if I'm distracted and not paying attention, there's no way a teacher calls on me. I'm going to get the right answer. Lori,
Right.
who has obviously done her homework. I'm just
Right.
saying I think
Yeah.
empirical evidence suggests she's a virgin. I mean, also, God, I mean, did you have to bang it in the 70s? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you kind of did, actually. Her
I
friends
think you
were not
did. I think you
virgins.
did. No, they were not.
Yeah.
And but it's crazy because she's like, supposed to be this very innocent prude and all that. She smoking weed in the car.
That was, I forgot about that when I rewatched it, that she was puffing along. I mean, she was a normal high school chick, I guess. I mean, I didn't smoke much weed in high school necessarily, but
Yeah, me either.
yeah.
Yeah.
Wonka, wonka. Why'd I bring that up? Cuz
Yeah.
so yeah, but I mean, no, but she did great. And you said, I mean, that she start this is kind of where she started her, and this is not a trademark term, scream queen.
Yeah.
I mean, she was actually in a TV show on Fox about five or six or 7 years ago called Scream Queens.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show, actually. It was a little cheesy, but it was on Fox.
All right. But yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis, lover.
Yeah, she.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention True Lies. That's where I really fell in love with her because I may have seen that before I saw Trading Places.
What happened in Trading Places that would have stirred your loins?
She was a hua.
And topless.
I know, a
Anyways,
little bit. A little bit. Yeah.
but I did mention Janet Leigh earlier. Janet Leigh, her mother, was in the movie you
Psycho.
referenced,
Yeah.
Psycho, exactly. And I think from my research that John Carpenter, John, I don't know why I said it like that.
Johnny C.
Johnny C, my buddy Johnny Carpenter, he I think he cast her or at least considered her as an homage to her mom.
Okay.
From Psycho. So I thought that was freaking awesome. I mean, what a break, right? I mean, I guess it's kind of not a break.
Yeah.
Kind of Nepo babyish, but who cares, man? She's
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome.
So why don't you get into Dr. Loomis? Because I know you love some Loomis. I love some Curtis and you love some Loomis.
I love Dr. Loomis and, but in a different way.
Oh, okay.
I always was fascinated by this guy. Like, he is a, like, from, well, anyways, he's played by Donald Pleasance. Who some movie buffs may know from The Great Escape. I don't know if y'all remember that, but he it was a World War II movie. He was actually in World War II as well. Fought. I mean, like
It
he,
tracks.
Donald Pleasance. I mean, I'm a huge fan of him. I loved, I know for people, I mean, we haven't really talked about the movie much per se, the actual, like scenes of the movie, but I mean the beginning of the movie is him and his a nurse assistant are driving to a mental facility to, I don't know if I said that word right, but whatever, a loony bin, to collect Michael Myers, bring him to some, basically some trial he's going to stand to determine his mental capacity. And Loomis is going to do everything he can to like make sure he goes away forever. And that's, of course, where the boy has escaped. And but his whole like I mean his whole delivery, his whole notion that he's basically got to load a 38 special and just kill this guy, put this guy down because he has been. Now there are some inconsistencies in the story, especially as it relates to something I'm going to bring up, but he says he spent the first 7 years trying to cure him, and then he spent the last 8 years trying to make sure he never gets out. But there's a kind of a throwaway line where he said he like met him 15 years ago and all he saw was nothing or something. It's kind of
Correct, yeah.
suggests that he's always known he was, because this is This movie occurs 15 years after young Michael stabs his sister to death immediately post-coitus.
Right. Not
And then,
immediately. I mean, like the guy had already left and she was just brushing her hair
well,
topless
of
on
course,
the.
she was brushing her hair topless at her vanity, right? All right, so not immediately, but shortly thereafter. She still hadn't put any clothes on.
Panties.
Yeah, she did. I liked his sister.
She was fun.
Sorry.
I
So who
no,
else is
that's
in this
fine.
movie?
So no. So with Loomis, with me, I always kind of thought this, but wasn't 100% sure until we researched this. English. He's
Yeah,
English
of
chap,
course.
but he
Yeah.
plays an American, obviously, right? Like
Yeah, he's got a kind of a funky accent.
he's trying not to have the English accent, but it's kind of there. You know, his American accent isn't great. It's the same thing as the guy, the cemetery guy. The cemetery
Yeah.
keeper, whatever they're called. Like he's, as soon as he opened his mouth, it's like, he's English as shit, you know, and he's trying to cover it up, but it's like, dude, you were in Mary Poppins. Like
Yeah.
but English, did not know that. Did not know that.
Yeah, that was so weird.
And I'm gonna let you do the next one too. Nick Castle. And
Well,
I'll take the one after
Nick.
that.
All right, Nick Castle, he plays The Shape.
Shape.
That's what they credit him as.
Oh,
Because
really?
yeah, I don't
Okay.
know if they were trying to distance themselves or excuse me, like remove his humanity, but like they
Okay.
called him The Shape. But he is Michael Myers. He is a grown-up version of the child who stabbed and, you know, killed his sister on Halloween night, you know, like 15 years earlier before this movie occurred in 1963, according to the timeline. But yeah, he, you know, walks around with like, you know, like mechanics Dickies or whatever the whole time. And also wearing a white mask with, you know, brown hair. Which, do you know what that is?
Oh,
So that,
like, go
the
ahead, go ahead.
mask, well, yeah, they just like, you know, it was such a low budget film that they just went to like a Halloween store or whatever and bought a bunch of masks and did different things to them to try and, you know, find the perfect one. And I think they nailed it. They had a William Shatner mask, which honestly, I've seen it without the paint on. I don't see William Shatner. I mean, obviously, maybe if you're wearing like the Enterprise, you know, like costume, the Star Trek costume, it would work. But it's just a plain mask that they painted white, and it is like, you know, I don't know if it would be spooky without this movie, but it's spooky as shit, and I love it. And
I
it's
would.
so blank, and that's the point.
I mean, I think any type of mask, or like even, you know, Dr. Horrific, Mr. Producer, with his Burger King mask, like this shit
Yes.
was freaky, man. Like, why
Yeah.
are we wearing that shit? Yeah,
That's a great point. Yeah.
100%. All right, last. And this was a kind of a throw-in just for me. Charles Cyphers, he plays Sheriff Brackett, also Annie's father, in the movie. Surprisingly, kind of went along with Loomis. Was hesitant to do so, but went along with him. I was gonna say he pleasured him. That's not the word.
No.
That's not the word I'm looking for. He humored
Humored
him.
him.
He
Oh boy.
humored him.
Whew. Big difference. Yes.
A little bit. A little bit. But just want to bring up Charlie Cyphers because he also played Charlie Donovan in Major League, and those who he was the GM, the general manager for the Cleveland Indians in Major League, and that movie has a soft spot in my heart. So anytime I have a connection, I want to bring it up. But yeah, that's Charlie Cyphers.
Are you a red-blooded male Gen Xer? Then, right?
No, yeah, we're Gen X, right?
Yeah, or something like that on the cusp. But then Major League should have a soft spot in your heart for, I mean, you should. I work on syntax, apparently. You know, you got this.
Do you want to talk about Annie? Do you want to talk about Linda?
I don't, you know, like I know Linda, I recognize. Annie, I don't recognize, but man, oh man, there's something about the 70s for me, man. Annie, what a little brat. The sheriff's daughter, just ripping a butt, walking home or walking to school. I think it was walking home,
Walking home.
hollering at people driving. I mean, she definitely is acting like a person of authority's child. bratty, she can get away with anything. And let me tell you, the scene where she spills butter when she's watching Lucy or whatever, the little girl across the street from where Lori is watching Tommy, she spills butter on her clothes and you know has to go, I love how she has to go outside and you know like across the backyard to the laundry room to put her clothes in, and she grabs a dress shirt of the father of the child she's watching, and she just puts it on, no problem. And I'm just like, this has got so many implications here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's half naked. Those socks, by the way, did you notice the socks?
I noticed the socks, yeah.
He had the socks almost up to her knees,
Yeah.
wearing a man's shirt.
Yeah.
Annie, let me tell you. Anyways, and Linda was cool too.
Yeah, Linda was a
Linda was all right, but she
she
was
was all
wild,
right.
man. She was wild.
Yeah.
I don't
Not a
know if we're
fan.
gonna, I don't know if we're ever gonna get to this scene, like if we go scene by scene, which I know we don't tend to do, but the part where Linda and her boyfriend Bob
Love Bob.
roll up to the house that Annie's babysitting at just so they can have a house, a room to bang in.
Right.
And they
Yeah.
roll up in this loud ass van. They're just slamming beers. She opens the car door, beer cans fall out, and then he carries her into this house in a neighborhood that I'm sure they know people. It's a small
Yeah.
town.
Small town.
All the
Small.
doors are unlocked. I mean, it's like, and they just walk right in, walk right up, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Again, you know, a high school performance. And then Bob goes down and gets some brewskis. I mean, it's just.
So in that scene, that may be the first time that the phrase was ever spoken in a movie, "I'll be right back."
That's right. I'll be right back.
Bob says that to Linda because she's being bitchy and wants more beer. So he's got to go get him.
And to quote Jamie Kennedy's character
Yeah.
in Scream, don't say you'll be right back
We'll see you
because you won't
back.
be right back.
That's right. Then
Exactly.
Matthew Lillard.
I'll be right back. Scream was good.
Scream was good.
I saw that in the theater. Did you? Were you with
Yeah,
us?
probably. Wait, what year was that? I don't know.
96. Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
probably.
Yeah, I was probably with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Opening night or opening weekend, we saw it.
Yeah.
Packed house. Remember the good old days?
Oh, man.
Theaters were packed.
Packed.
Scary.
Loved it.
People screaming because scary movies. It's a good experience. But yeah, no, that was awesome. And yeah, your boy, the sheriff, I thought he did a good job.
I did too.
Believable as hell.
Yeah, I did. What'd you think about Tommy?
So yeah, I this is something I tend to bring up. I generally hate child actors.
Me too.
It started when I was a kid, being a child, not believing them. Like it would take me out of movies. Like anytime there was a child in the movie and they were, you know, doing something, I would get in my head about how unbelievable, and I don't mean unbelievable, I mean like I didn't believe what they were doing, and it would take me out of certain scenes. This time, this rewatch anyways, the kid had a whiny voice. Didn't like that. I felt sympathy because he was getting bullied early on.
Yeah,
And
he
then,
was.
yeah, I mean, he was carrying a jack-o'-lantern. The kids tripped him and it destroyed the jack-o'-lantern or the pumpkin.
Can I say something?
Oh God, did you do this to somebody?
No, but when I saw that on the rewatch, and Mrs. Gus, she kind of
Ew.
looked at me, and I'm like, yes, that would have been me tripping the kid back
Yeah.
in the day. Okay, yeah, all right.
Well, he was traumatized already.
Yeah.
Scared of the boogeyman because of his little jackass bullies. And he sees the boogeyman and he's got kind of a whiny voice, screams. And Lori doesn't believe him, nor should she. I mean, don't get me wrong,
Yeah.
but he is a tortured child. And then he goes through this trauma. I really believed him. And what I really liked about Lucy, the girl next door who Annie was supposed to be across the street, who Annie was supposed to be, she wasn't even paying attention, just watching TV. I was like, that's the most real scene I've ever seen. Kids got the TV on, full volume, not paying attention. I know this because I have a daughter who's about that age. Never hears a word I say. And I mean, that is, I was just like, that's Lucy. I get it. That's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's an eight, nine, 10-year-old right there.
100%.
Authority? Nah. Anyways, I mean, that's, listen, we talked about the kids. We talked about the friends, the dipshit boyfriend. You liked Bob, but
I like Bob. Can I say why I like Bob?
I'd love to hear it. The glasses? I'm
I
just
mean,
joking. I don't.
glasses, sure. I mean, He just wanted to bang and drink, man. That's all he wanted to do.
And his sweet ass van too.
I know. Like he just, I mean, in the 70s, a van, that's what you wanted. That's what you wanted. I mean, but yeah, I mean, just he was just he's a typical guy that now is probably frowned upon. But back when we were growing up, he was cool as shit because he just wanted to drink and bang.
And you know, chicks in the 70s dug that dude.
Oh yeah.
There was
Yeah.
no, you didn't have to worry about nothing, man.
No,
And
no.
you can liberate yourselves all you want, but you still want a dude who's got a sweet ass van,
Yeah.
drinks and drives, and
Yep.
bangs.
And he was a gentleman enough to go down and get some beer for
And
she
he was in
wanted a
good
beer.
shape. He was,
Yeah.
I love how glasses, tend to be nerds, but I wear
Yeah.
glasses.
Yeah.
Fuck y'all
I
saying
don't because
that.
I don't want to be a nerd. I should
Well,
wear them,
I'm
but
getting in
you
better
know.
shape too, so watch out. Now that I
Oh.
can see where I'm throwing the punches, watch out.
Okay.
Watch out.
All right.
Anyway, so that's good. But let's move on, dot
Yeah,
com.
we've definitely covered the cast
I
here.
mean, the cast is tiny, 21 days, friends.
Yeah.
But you kind of talked about this early on, the soundtrack and the score. I don't really know much about soundtracks and scores, but it was a minimalist situation here. I don't know what that instrument is that, like every time something scary happened, like there was like a, like that kind of sound. But as your notes said, the heartbeat of that film is that piano score, that John Carpenter wrote in 3 days that I used to have on like my phone to play, like during Halloween, I used to have it as a ringtone and until it spooked me out. But I mean, that is brilliant. And I mean, I don't know. Like, I was racking my, well, I wasn't racking my brain, but like when watching this, I was like, is this the most simplistic yet effective, like sound moment, score, I guess you could say, in a movie? I mean, what do you think? Like, it's up there. I'm not really tracking. I mean, think about the qualities. Minimal, impactful, and I mean and timeless, as you say. So I mean, what would you say? It's up there, right?
It's up there. It's up there. I don't know. Jaws might be better.
Oh. No, Jaws.
But
No. Shit.
no, but I mean, Jaws was first. I'll say
Yeah,
that.
75,
Jaws
75.
was first. But I think maybe where you, and this kind of goes back to an earlier part of our conversation, Jaws is okay, a shark. Right, so you got to be in the water, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, this that the score here could, elicit something walking out, taking your trash, right? Like taking the trash out or whatever. It can just pop because it's in normal everyday life that this movie occurs. I mean,
Right.
granted, Halloween, but you think nighttime or whatever, like you hear that. You know, Mrs. Guss thinks this is the scariest fucking score there is.
Hell yeah. Hell
Yeah,
yeah. Good
she's
for
on
her.
board with that.
Well, okay.
But
I will give you that, but you mentioned Jaws. Jaws
yeah,
is definitely more well known, I mean,
I
hell,
would think so.
the Gators use it,
Yeah.
at their games, for God's sakes. It's not, I mean, that probably means more to me long term, for a number of reasons. But you're right. I mean, the moment is, get out of the water. All right. Threat's over. Yeah, great. Yeah. I didn't have to go out there with Chief Brody and Quint. But in this, I mean, it's a freaking defenseless, multiple defenseless high schoolers and little kids.
Yeah.
Thank God the little kids don't get killed. Spoiler alert, but
Spoiler
that a
alert
little bizarre. You better not,
from
yeah.
50 years ago.
Hey, I was born in 78, friend. It's only 47.
My
Oh my
bad.
God, that hurts saying it. I didn't think about that. Just had
Yeah,
my
because
birthday.
I'm so far behind you.
And now you're a child.
I am a
You're
child.
like Tommy.
Tommy,
Tommy,
you would have
the
been my
boogeyman,
babysitter.
man. Yeah, God. All right.
A year old.
Show's getting off the rails, man.
A little bit. All right, so let's get a little bit behind the lens.
Yeah, let's get there.
Let's get there. Just Carpenter's use of long takes, the handheld cameras. It just works, right? It just works. It's so simple. It's very, budget friendly, but it kind of goes along with the score, right? Like you just have, it from a long take that I think about, one that really pops in my mind is when just after Lori and Tommy put the key underneath the rug at the Myers house, right? And it's supposed to be empty and it's supposed to be haunted and all this and that. And then you kind of see Michael Myers, as you see the outline of his head, like he's in the house. And then Tommy goes his way, and then Lori walks down the road, and she walks a good while down the road, and she's singing. And like Michael Myers is just there watching her the whole time. And it's just very, very, very long take, a long scene for just someone walking down singing on the road. And at some point it's like, is she gonna turn around and freak the fuck out? Is he going to go and run and chase after her? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, and this is taking forever. Like, I need a resolution to this scene. Like, what is gonna happen? And then nothing happens. But it's
No, it's
so
brilliant.
long. Yeah, it's
That's
amazing. Yeah.
yeah. It's funny because like this movie, like it's only it occurs in one night, but there are scenes like that that are just so like and I mean this with all respect. I mean they like drag out and are stressful as hell,
Yes. Yeah.
And this occurs in one night. I mean, I think we did Big Trouble in Little China. That movie felt like it was just like
Yeah,
go,
going.
go,
It was
go, go,
moving,
go,
moving.
and it's the
Yeah.
same director,
Right. Yeah.
It's, he's that's just his range. But, I did want to mention, like, kind of behind the lens, did I don't know if I mentioned this, but like, and I can't remember, Lucy is watching, The Thing.
Yes.
That's the movie she's watching that's so damn loud. Or is it Tommy that was watching? Whatever. One of the kids is watching The Thing, right? Which John Carpenter remade in the early 80s. And that movie is scary as shit. And there is, again, like a mystery. You don't know who. Have you seen The Thing with Kurt Russell?
No, I haven't. I think I've seen the original, but a
Okay.
long time
Well,
ago. I
this
don't really
is, I'm not,
remember it.
this is without spoiling it. I mean, like, you don't know who the killer is, but it's an alien that can shapeshift. And it's like,
Okay.
it's not dissimilar to the concept, like the slow stalking movie with some scariest shit parts. Now that movie's a way a little bit more, well, excuse me, way more gruesome. But like you said though, I mean they are just like the POV lens, for example. I think I don't know if you mentioned that or not, but you
No, I
had it in your
didn't, no.
notes. The fact that it's Michael Myers's viewpoint because you can hear his breathing behind the mask. It's
Right,
so
yes.
creepy.
Yeah.
And
And I
they're
mean
just
that,
nailing it.
and that's how, I mean, the breathing behind the mask, that's how the movie ends, right? They think he's dead. Well, they don't think he's dead because he's
He
got
got
loaded up
up.
with bullets, but he's gone. But then, like, as the camera like pans out farther and farther, you just hear the breathing behind the mask. You hear the breathing behind the mask. The, like it's
That was
intense,
too
man.
much. Yeah.
Yeah, very intense. Do you think the lack of blood, and we've kind of gone over this a little bit, but just because it's low budget aesthetics and the lack of blood and all that, like I think it works. I think it
Oh,
works
yeah.
better. It really
Yes.
makes this more of an edgy movie,
It's
So
more suspenseful than horror from the respect of there's zero gore.
yeah, I would say,
I can't think of one moment of gore now
I
that I
mean,
think
the
about
only
it.
thing I can think of is when he kills Bob,
Yeah.
right? Because Bob is,
He doesn't he
he puts the knife through him, and he stuck him
hanging
to the
there.
wall, yeah, with the knife. So,
That's wild, man.
but
But he's got supernatural strength. I mean, oof.
yeah, but I mean, otherwise, like, no, there's a little bit of blood, but not
Yeah, a little
much.
bit. Annie gets strangled.
Yeah, she gets strangled. Yeah.
I mean, there's Lori stabs him in the eye with the coat hanger, which is a one in a million shot. Well done.
Right. Yeah. She
And
stabs him in the
then,
neck with a knife.
yeah, that's true. And then Loomis pumps him full of lead.
Yeah.
That 38 special over
Yeah.
the thing. There's no blood,
No, you
very
got the,
little
yeah, I mean, you have a little bit of blood
on
on
the
the
ground.
well, not on the ground,
Right.
on the maintenance, the mechanic or the tow truck operator, whatever it is, when Loomis finds the car, but he doesn't see the body in the bushes. There's a little bit of blood there. blue body.
But I mean, we're scrambling to find blood.
Right. 100%.
Could probably fill like a less than a gallon jug,
absolutely.
Or a pint, whatever, half gallon. But my point is, like, that's not a lot compared to the other movies we watch. But you're talking about like how, like the, we talked earlier about like the budget, but I mean, this is just another testament to it. You know, the lighting, the lack of blood, the painted on leaves that you really don't know about. But I mean, like, these are just testaments to like the authenticity or the attempted authenticity. This movie was made, I think you mentioned, before CGI, of course,
Yep.
There's not a cell phone in sight, as they say. No, but something we talked about in the green room, like, this is the same decade that they made Star Wars in, where they used a million practical effects.
Yeah.
They didn't have CGI. I get that. But now, like, I made you sit through, the third prequel. It was all CGI, and it was right. So obvious, and it kind of takes you out of the movie a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, there are scenes like where you're just like, well, I mean, it's exciting, it's fun, but I know that's not happening on, it's happening on a green screen. I can't help but know that. This movie was all on whatever, like in camera. Well, there were zero effects, but I mean, like, it was all on set, or I mean, on site, it's just.
Yeah, no. And another thing, I think this is a little bit, and this may be where people could get hung up from a younger generation than us. Mm-hmm. I think the use of the phone and the phone calls is very well done.
Yeah.
You have where it's Linda calls and all she hears like this, it almost sounds like his breathing, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually her chewing and she couldn't, yep. She couldn't.
Why'd you
talk.
Hang up?
Yeah. Why'd you hang up? It was just me. And then a little bit later on,
oh yeah,
Linda Love getting choked one. Out, Linda getting choked out and she calls and she's calling Lori when she gets choked out by Michael Myers before he stabbed her, right?
Yeah.
No, he choked her with the
He choked phone. Her, but he it sounds like she's
having sex,
which is beautiful.
Not, yeah, and so, she's like, "Oh, like what's going on?" Then also you have the, what was the little girl's name?
Lucy.
Lucy. While Annie's stuck in the laundry room, the phone is just ringing and ringing and ringing. There was no voicemail back then.
No.
And that just connects with me because, there was a time before when we were little before
answering machines,
right?
Yeah.
Like we just didn't have it. It was just ring and ring and ring and ring. And my parents, if one of us didn't answer the phone, which the kid is answering the phone, right? Kids aren't supposed to answer phones. Well, I guess that's probably gone now too. But there was a point in time where kids don't answer phones, but you just let it ring and ring and ring. And it's just annoying and annoying and annoying and annoying. I think the use of the phones is pretty, funny
dude,
and
it,
pretty
it
creative.
And it heightens the tension too.
It does,
That sound.
Yeah.
Cause there's movies like where a phone will ring and someone will scream,
Yeah.
And it's just the phone, dude.
Yeah.
But that's the way phones were. And like, I love like the whole like, hey, it's so and so. Can I talk to Annie? Yeah, and then she hangs up.
Right.
Yeah. For him to call back.
Yeah.
Just hanging up. I mean, she went and got the girl, but still.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That was I mean, actually, And then as we're talking about this, popcorn, phone, Scream, the beginning of Scream.
Yeah.
She's cooking popcorn. The phone rings and scares the shit out of her.
Yeah.
It's just a phone, but on the other end is a lunatic,
Right.
So it's just like, that's a movie that could seem outdated. I mean, it's from 96, for God's sakes, Is it almost 30 years?
Almost 30 years. Yeah.
Or 20 years. No, God.
No, 30 years.
Oh,
30
God.
Years, man.
All right.
30 years.
All right. All right. You know what? I got, there was a comment on how old I sounded last week on Bourbon Boys when I was talking
really?
About, yes, my back was hurting.
Okay.
So one of our loyal listeners to our podcast commented that I sound like an old man. So I'm going to stop making those comments, man. I'm just going to be like young and awesome.
Well, it is. It is what it is.
It is.
So, we were just talking about Annie and I'm sorry, not Annie. It was Linda who had a mouthful of food while she was on the phone making all kinds of noise. Do you think she put any type of sauce on that food?
God, I hope so. Because, you know, it actually, it made me that you brought this up and I was immediately went to Annie and the popcorn. I was like, man, popcorn got butter, but what else could you put on popcorn?
That's true.
I know we're stretching this a little thin here
We
because
are.
this portion of Automatic Rewind is brought to you by Pandemic Sauce Company. Amidst a worldwide pandemic and lockdown with nothing but time on his hands, a friend of the podcast started experimenting in his kitchen to occupy his time. He soon discovered a knack of combining a variety of peppers with fruit juices to create some new, unique barbecue sauces. After sharing his sauces with family and friends, he has now decided to share them with the rest of the world and the goal to become your new favorite sauce. That's Pandemic Sauce Company. Enter code Automatic Rewind in the subject line of email. That's pandemicsaucecompany@gmail.com. Enter code Automatic Rewind in the subject line and start a dialogue with the owner, founder, proprietor of Pandemic Sauce Company. It's pandemicsaucecompany@gmail.com. Enter code Automatic Rewind in the subject line.
Good old Ron.
Great guy. Poor LSU this week, but we'll get into that
Tomorrow.
tomorrow.
And our other podcast. Bourbon Boys. Anyhow,
That's right.
let's get into this, right? Evil doesn't need a motive.
Yeah. Yes. And did you recognize that the first time you saw this? That he has like
No motive.
no motive. I mean,
Yes.
go ahead.
So
I want to know your
I
thoughts.
did. Like I've always wondered that. Like I said, it's been a while since I watched it, and I didn't care to look it up before. But you know, I was always trying to figure out how he was picking who he killed, right? So it was like, okay, why is he going after Lori specifically, right? Or why is he
Right.
going after the kids or Annie or whoever, right? It doesn't matter. Why did he kill his sister? Who knows? And in that clown outfit, we never mentioned he was in a fucking clown outfit when he killed
Right.
her at 6 years old, and put on a
That might
mask.
have affected you because of killer clowns.
Killer clowns from outer space, correct? But actually, during this rewatch, I still hadn't figured out, or I still didn't know what his motive was. And I was like, you know, he sees Tommy getting bullied. One of the bullies actually runs into him, you know, and he's kind of following Tommy. And I'm like, maybe he was picked on and he kind of feels bad for Tommy. And so he's just maybe kind of watching out for him, you know, like
Yeah.
kind-hearted, good or whatever. Obviously, that's fucking wrong.
Right.
But then
These are
I
things going through your head.
yeah,
Yeah.
these are things going through my head. And then I finally looked into it and yeah, like John Carpenter doesn't want a motive for him.
Yeah.
He wants nothing. He's just a killer. Born a killer. He is a killer. Kills for whatever. That's what he does.
That's right. How did
Yeah.
he pick Lori? Did you read into that? It's literally just the stupid, she put the key under the mat.
Keyed under the mat. Okay. Yeah, that's
But I mean,
yeah.
that's not a motive.
No,
There's no motive. I mean,
but
it's
that's what I figured, right? It
yeah.
was okay, he had like, you know, some connection. She came to the house, so then Lori and Tommy, which led to Linda and Annie, and which led to Bob, and you know, so
They're
there's
just
kind of
in his
that,
way. Yeah.
yeah. But they do talk about, or they don't, but they in subsequent films, you know, what in Halloween 2, it's revealed that Lori is actually his sister.
Do you know how this was addressed?
No.
It's the crazy and stupidest thing.
Okay.
This movie was too short to run on cable, or not cable, but regular broadcast television. They need 2 hours, minus the ads. So I don't know what that translates to. So while they were filming Halloween 2, which I think Carpenter wrote but didn't direct, he added a couple scenes while they had the sets or the actors, I guess, around, right? One of them was Loomis trying to explain to a small group of doctors, why he was dangerous. And the other one was Loomis going to Michael's, not cell, but his hospital room, and on the back of the door had, and I'm putting this in quotes, had scratched in the word sister. And then in Halloween 2, they make that canon. They say it was his sister. And there's a lot of funny parts in Halloween 2. I just listened to a great podcast about it called Bad Movies Rule, where they talk about shitty movies. And it's very in depth, but it was hilarious how upsetting they found Halloween 2. And that's how I got some of this trivia as well. But it's so ridiculous that
It is
they
ridiculous.
had to retcon it.
Yeah, like I mean, because if you think about it, okay, that's your sister. So she was 3 years old when you went away,
Right.
right? So where was she in the first, like they didn't show her in that first scene. Like what the, you know,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or, I mean, she was born. Yeah, I guess 15
Yeah,
years. Yeah, you're right.
15.
So
Yeah,
she was three.
she was 2 or 3 years old, right? I'm
Yeah, two
assuming
or
she's a
three.
senior in high
17 or 18.
school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Huh.
she's, well, the parents didn't die. Would they just give her up for adoption?
Yeah, and
Like,
then right,
is
because
there,
the parent, that was
the
her.
dad's the realtor.
Yeah, the dad's a realtor, by the way, which is a
Okay.
noble profession. So yeah, golly, so that wasn't the mom and dad. I mean, it's just so dumb.
It
And I
is.
mean, I think it's addressed in later movies because, as you said, Halloween 3 is not at all the problem. Well, not the problem, but what they ran into a situation where John Carpenter didn't even want this to be have a sequel, or if it did,
Right.
he wanted them to be an anthology kind of movie where like the second one is completely unrelated to the first one, third
Right.
one completely unrelated, and they actually. Somebody took the reins of that theory and made Halloween 3, which is completely nothing to do with Michael Myers. It's about haunted Halloween masks and, like, I think a satanic cult. And then they
Correct.
went back to it in Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, and then The Revenge of Michael Myers in Halloween 5. I think those are the subtitles. But there's a child played by Danielle Harris in both of those movies, I believe. And she. Is somehow related. There's no Laurie Stroud, there's no Strode, there's no Jamie Lee Curtis in 4 and 5. And then they made, Halloween H2O, which had Jamie Lee Curtis in it. And then they, after the Rob Zombies, which we should get into in a little bit, they recently have made two more Halloween movies that had Jamie Lee Curtis in them, and they re-retconned the situation where she is no longer the sister. They are just direct sequels to Halloween 1, this movie,
Right.
ignoring Halloween 2, which everybody panned and hated. So
Right.
it's just kind of funny that you've got to, like, as to quote Yoda, I'm sorry to do this to you, you have to unlearn what you have learned. You have to, like, forget everything you learned in 2, 4, and 5. And that's no familial relationship. He is back to just being a shape. Psycho killer. So
Yeah.
there's that. I don't know.
There's that.
I don't know, man.
Background.
I think that, yeah, I think they should have just stopped here.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some of those Rob Zombie movies.
Let's do it, man. Because you said you've seen them. I've only seen the first one.
I've seen House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil May
Oh. I'm
Cry.
sorry. I'm sorry. I meant the Halloween remakes. Have you seen any of those?
Oh, I have. Isn't there one with LL Cool J?
I believe that was Halloween H2O.
It is. Yeah,
And
I
that's
think
not
you're right.
his. That's.
Right. But I've seen, yes, I have seen the Rob Zombie remake.
So you brought up House of a Thousand Corpses, which is
Correct.
part of a trilogy. House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Reject, Three from Hell. I absolutely loved House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects. And then they waited so long to make Three from Hell that I have not had an opportunity to see it. Devil's Rejects, I watched on a Netflix disc back when Netflix had actual physical CDs that they would send you in the mail. You young people in this that are listening to us, they used to send CDs in the mail, and I watched it after the bar when I was living up north, and I was scared out of my mind. It was, and not because it was like supernatural, but because these It was this shit was happening to real people in Texas. They're just having a good time at a motel, and these three lunatics break in and kill them, rape them, whatever. You know, it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just like the depravity of possibility of human existence freaked me out in those two movies.
Right.
So, I mean, and I think he did a fantastic job. The acting was outstanding. There was no like terrible acting, but there was an homage to like Texas Chainsaw Massacre
Right.
and these slasher movies, but there was also a tremendous amount of blood and gore. Now, that being
Oh, yeah, it's
said,
Rob Zombie.
yeah, that's why I discounted his remakes of these movies. I didn't like them. I didn't really want to know anything about Michael, but you learn he had a bad childhood,
Right.
you know? I thought it was freakier just to think that, you know, Michael just snaps one day. Is he possessed? Or is he just a flipping lunatic, you know?
Right.
And I thought
Yeah.
that was good enough. And there was way more gore in those,
Yeah.
as I recall. I mean, they're Rob Zombie's movies, you know.
They're Rob Zombie's
Teeth
movie.
getting knocked out. I didn't need that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
If they had, and as I said in my notes, if they had just changed it, tweaked it a little bit, called it something else, it would have been a stock Rob Zombie good movie. There was just no reason to remake this movie. That's all.
Right. I'm a big Sherry Moon fan, so
Yeah, she's something else.
yeah, she is.
Just one of those things that's like, I was watching it. I was watching House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects, and I was like, I guess dying by her hands would be, you know, acceptable.
So we should probably talk about our favorite characters and scenes.
Yeah.
So what do you got for character?
And I know I mentioned earlier. Oh, and I kind of wanted to caveat this. I Laurie is amazing. Jamie Lee Curtis's character, acting and character are awesome.
And
Dr.
looks.
Loomis,
And looks.
and okay, and looks.
Okay.
I don't know if you and I see 100% eye to eye there. This is kind of a Marion and Raiders of the Lost Ark thing going on here, but and that's not to say any of these women are as good looking as Allison Duty from, you know,
Oh,
Last Crusade, but
good God, she's not.
all right, we'll get there. We'll get
All
there.
right.
But Dr. Loomis is definitely a fantastic character and actor as well. But I know I said this earlier. Annie is my favorite character. She, I'm, I, okay. Like, do you remember that Seinfeld where there's that masseuse who Jerry's dating who just like cannot stand George,
Yeah.
and he's infatuated with her because of it? Well,
Right,
like that's how I feel like I would be. Like, she just is so mean, and like I'm just like, what is going on? I've got to know what makes her tick. And then when she gets butter all over her and she has to wear the high socks and the man's shirt, just something about her. Love
Yeah.
Annie. Yeah. I mean, but now I know Laurie's your favorite person on earth and Jamie Lee Curtis, but who else would you say would be your favorite character in this movie?
It's Bob.
Bab.
It's Bob. And I already talked about it too. Maybe we are kind of going over this again, but just dude wants to drink beers and bang, man. Got a
Yeah.
van. Like
That
that's all he's
van.
about. That's all he's about. No, I mean he's great. I love Bob. Very small role, very important role. And I think that'll go into scenes, which
Yeah.
I'll talk about. I'll talk about
Yeah,
my
let's hear it.
two. I'll talk about my two. So the first one is when Michael Myers is dressed up as Bob, and that's why we know he's dressed up as Bob because of the glasses, right? The
That answers
glasses
my
are,
question earlier. Yeah.
yeah, the glasses are very important, right? So we know that Linda thinks that Michael Myers is Bob in a sheet as a ghost. So I just think it's hilarious that he's dressed like that. Like how it's almost like a childish thing, an immature
Yeah.
thing to do, but I guess a high schooler would do. I guess I could see a high schooler doing that, or a younger dude who's just trying to fuck around, be a little bit flirty after sex. But the other scene that I really, really, really like, and it freaks me the fuck out, is when Dr. Loomis and the nurse drive up to the institution
Yes.
and it's pouring down rain, and there's just patients walking around everywhere, and the nurse is just like, they just let them walk out alone? It's like,
In the rain.
there's a problem going on. By the
Grow a
way,
brain, lady.
that nurse got lucky that she didn't die.
Now, big
So,
time. I love how she's just ripping a butt
oh yeah.
indoors, in the
Yeah. In
car,
the car, yeah.
rain, windows up. I
Windows
mean, there might
up.
have been a crack, but still, man.
It's a 70s, bro.
I had to,
Just
dude,
gotta let it fly.
in the 2000s, I had to get a ride from DC to Pennsylvania, and the chick I was riding with, it was a work trip. It was raining or snowing. It was ice cold, and she was smoking the entire way. And like I was freezing in the car because we had to have the windows down, or cracked. And I just remember, like, in retrospect, and watching this, I have flashbacks every time I see someone smoking in a car with a window barely up or barely down. But I loved it though. I mean, like, then I'm probably love it now too, man. Just fucking cigarette smoke. I don't smoke, but I love the smell.
Me
The
too.
yeah.
Me too. Probably because at least I used to smoke
I
cigarettes.
used to smoke. Thank you for not
Yeah.
outing me, but I
Okay.
definitely did. I
Yeah, I
smoked
know.
for a long time.
Yeah, we smoked a lot together.
Yeah, we did. Back in the good old days when you could smoke inside a bar.
That's right. It was amazing.
Yes.
So scenes for you, buddy. What do you
Yeah.
got?
So the opening scene is outstanding. It sets the tone for the movie.
Yes.
Honestly, Donald Pleasance is almost all of his interactions with the sheriff are outstanding. That's
Yeah.
kind of like his buddy. Like you kind of pointed out, it's like he knows he's crazy, but he's still helping him anyways, kind of,
Yeah.
it's just there's just something about it, loading a pistol and there's just certain things about their interactions in general. I loved the sheriff, his role in this movie, helpless as it may be, and then knowing that his daughter gets killed and there's no resolution to that.
Yeah.
That's pretty messed up. There's a resolution in Halloween 2, but it's awful. And I mean awful as in cheesy. And then but my favorite minor scene is Bob and Linda rolling out of that shaggin' wagon, that van, man. Beer cans, door open, making a lot of noise. It's a small town, in the suburbs, and it's just and that was another crazy thing. It's like, people were asleep pretty early for Halloween night, I noticed. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm not gonna get crazy about it, but it's just like, if somebody's hollering out in my yard or my neighbor, my street, I don't live on a very busy street, but it's, 40, 50 years later,
Yeah.
I'm gonna hear it. I'm gonna open, but what the hell's going on? But I just their moxie. And I think I don't know if we mentioned this in the green room or if we mentioned it on the pod, but this is like a horror version of a snippet of Dazed and Confused.
It kind of
You
is.
know,
No, we didn't mention that. No, that's, yeah.
the brazen behavior of high schoolers. It's 1978. It's about the same time that even Dazed and Confused is based. You
Right.
know, just smoking weed freely. Fans and beer cans, baby. Oh my God, that sounds like a damn band name.
Yeah.
Vans and beer cans.
Yeah.
So, Linda and Bob, man, I'm just like, I guess they're gonna have to get married now that they had sex, right? Anyways, but it's just, I just, I'm just, I, you know, and I just love it. I mean, but there's so many scary moments that I, definitely am not either consciously or subconsciously trying not to relive right now, but. But those are just moments that just stuck out at me, and I made notes of, man.
No, it's definitely, I totally agree.
Yeah.
There's just, it's such a well-made movie,
Yes.
and we're getting to it. We're getting to the end here, but there's one little thing that we need to do, and that's the ratings. And 'cause before you go into the ratings, I do want to give some of the ratings, like from IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and
Yeah,
so
let's hear what you
forth.
had to say.
So, IMDb, out of 330,000 reviews,
Ooh.
it's a 7.7 out of 10. So that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, but
That's really
I feel like
good.
it should be in the eights. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think though for I think that's a
IMDb is pretty strict, or the
yeah.
people are very discriminating.
Yeah, it definitely is. And then on Rotten Tomatoes, it's certified fresh, so the tomato meter that's actual critics,
Right.
97%.
Yeah. Okay.
89 critics, 97%. That's unbelievable.
That's outstanding. What do they have a fan meter?
Yeah, the popcorn meter.
I see.
Popcorn meter, over 250,000 ratings, 89%.
Now
So.
that blows it out of the water. What I was, that's kind of what I would presume it would have been reflective on IMDb, but I'm glad to hear that some fans have taste. Normally I hate critics. They just love to hear their own voice, but I totally am on board with this, yeah.
By the way, do you know what day or the date this opened? I just have it here in front of me, so I just want to.
No, it's not Halloween.
It's not Halloween.
No.
October 25th.
Oh, okay. So the week
Yeah,
before.
correct.
So that probably spooked the shit out of some people a week later. Good.
And it finally hit streaming in 2017 in March. Who cares?
Yeah.
March release. And then they re-released it in theaters on September 27th, 2018. But enough about when it was available for everyone to watch it at their own leisure. Go over our rating system, buddy.
Yeah, we have a rating system. It's proprietary.
Okay.
Well, from worst to first, our 1 star, we like to refer to this as returning the movie, not rewound. It's the ultimate slight you can make to a movie. Number two, 2 stars rather, we returned the movie, but we rewound it. Whatever. 3 stars, we returned this movie late and happily incurred some late fees. Number 4 stars, we never returned it. We just kept it. And 5 stars, baby, we lived on the wild side. Not only did we keep this movie, but we made copies and bootlegged it for distribution.
I love it. Not that
So,
we do that.
not
Not
that
that
we
we
would do that
do.
because the FBI would be a knocking on our door.
Yeah, they would.
Since I laid out these really, really, really in-depth and well thought out ratings, I want to know what you think. What'd you do with this movie?
I would bootleg the shit out of this movie.
Yeah.
It holds up. It's just good. It's for us, it's the OG. It's an amazing flick. Great, even though sometimes Mrs. Gus would say, that was cheesy, like how
Yeah.
Annie died, like her face. It's like, well, she's getting strangled, okay?
Yeah.
But no, I just think it holds up really good, really, really good, well done. And it just keeps you on the edge of your seat the whole time, the way
Yes.
it's shot, all of it. So yeah, I'm bootlegging this bad boy, making some extra cheese on the side. How about you?
Well, the FBI is knocking on my door, buddy, because I am also keeping this movie, bootlegging it, and selling it to everyone I can because I absolutely love this movie. I don't know if you said this or you said it in the green room, but I was kind of worried when I started watching it, like that I wasn't gonna like it as much. Because this has happened to us, y'all have to go back to our Raiders of the Lost Ark
Episode one.
episode 1. Go all the way back to episode 1 from 7 years ago. But I'm joking. That was a commentary on us. I don't, I didn't love Raiders of the Lost Ark as much as I remembered loving it. It's a fine adventure movie, but there's just some things about it that just bothered me. This movie, while the budget was low, it's obvious. The acting was interesting. There's no explanation, but some of these things are outstanding. You need shitty lighting sometimes, I mean, and then you don't know anything. He just walks off, and there wasn't even intended to be a sequel. So I mean, that's the thing that freaks me out the most is that John Carpenter was like, excuse my language, but fuck you to the audience. He was just basically like, this guy's gone. He could be in your neighborhood. And now I'm kind of freaking out. I wish I hadn't said that. But I mean, that's what the point of the ending was.
He was David Chase before David Chase.
Right. Yes.
Cut to
God.
black. No
Yeah.
resolution in
Nope.
Sopranos. No
That's it.
resolution here. Just fucking
No.
ending. That's
And
it.
it's funny how I love this ending, but didn't love the Sopranos ending because, based on the same thing. I think the time invested, I think, is probably what pisses me
That's
off about
probably,
that. But, like, It's like you can finally breathe, and then they take your breath away again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, he's dead. Thank God. Open over the ledge. He's not, he's gone.
Yeah.
Whew. Anyways, no, I'm really glad we picked it. I hope this is, satiates some of y'all's spooky season, you know, the thin veil time of year, as we say, between the living and the dead. But, you know, I mean, if you just take this movie individually in a capsule, Michael Myers is still out there.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome.
Still out there.
Ding, 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 ding.
So, cuz, you got any final thoughts you want to share?
I do. Okay. First of all, I want to thank our sponsor, Pandemic Sauce Company. That's Pandemic Sauce Company. If you want to reach out to him, that's our buddy Ron. Send him an email at pandemicsaucecompany@gmail.com. Make sure and enter automatic rewind in the subject line. Create a dialogue, and he'll send you his catalog, and he'll ship out what you got. I heard he's also working with a potential new distributor, so things will be rolling in the next couple weeks, and we'll have an update on that. Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and follow, and share this episode with your family and friends. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts, iTunes Podcasts, whatever the hell it's called. If you have any movie suggestions for us to review, or comments or concerns, send them to me, Cousin Bailey, CUZZINBAILEY@gmail.com, or reach out to us on Instagram at Automatic Rewind, one word, or on X at Gus and Cuz, CUZ.
Yeah, you, so yeah, we should have episode 27 out in the next couple of weeks. Yep. I hope everybody here can forgive us and not unforgive us for our delays lately.
That was interesting.
It'll be an epic, and we'll have an epic guest. Host,
yes,
as well.
And but where would this guest come from?
I think he would probably come from another little podcast we do called The Bourbon Boys.
Also available on Spotify and the Apple Podcast app. We talk about SEC football.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pretty good. Pick some games.
We'd do it. All right. For Cousin Bailey, I'm Gus. We out. Happy Halloween.